Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What's life all about? What's valuable about your life? What's significant about my life? Does your life, does my life have really meaning? You know, who am I? Where am I going? Where did I come from? What's my purpose? Who are you? How would you define your life? How would I define my life? We see here all the big questions in life are asked.
The truth is, pleasure isn't the best thing life has to offer. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young starts his message, "Is Pleasure the Answer?" and shares the only place where you can find true and lasting joy. Stick around to hear that encouraging message. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, if you're like most people, you've experienced some trials this year, sickness or fear, maybe loneliness, just to name a few. That's why Dr. Young wants to encourage you today by sending you his son Ben's brand new book called Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms. This book shows you how to draw from God's strength and trust in His promises in these uncertain times. We'll send you Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Young with today's message, Is Pleasure the Answer?
Narcissus is one of the classic figures in mythology. He was going home from a successful hunt, and he happened to go by a little pool of water, deep and crystal clear. And Narcissus looked in that pool, and he saw his own image. And immediately he fell in love with himself. He thought, I've never seen any figure so beautiful, so handsome as that figure in that pool. And he walked over the edge and he looked at himself and he said, I'm more attractive than Apollo. I have more appeal than Bacchus. And he just couldn't take his eyes off his own reflected image. The only person who observed him was Echo. Narcissus was the son of a river god. Echo was a nymph. A tree nymph, and she watched him and observed him and couldn't take her eyes off of him and longed for his love. But Narcissus was so overwhelmed with his own appearance, with his own beauty, he could look in no other direction. He stood there for hours. He stood there for days. He didn't drink. He didn't eat. He became dissipated, and suddenly he began to be ill, but he wanted to embrace himself any more than he already had. And so he leaned over to go and hold the reflection, and he fell in the pool and drowned. The only remnant we have is Echo, that you might hear, according to mythology, a little whisper of the beauty of Narcissus. Starting the book of Ecclesiastes. The author is Solomon, King Solomon. He was a thoroughgoing, narcissistic person. No doubt about it. He fell in love with himself. He was number one in everything he was about. And ladies and gentlemen, we live in a generation that is absolutely filled with narcissistic people, and many of us are caught up in it. The millennials, 18 to 38, are generally thoroughgoing narcissistic young people. How do we know that? Facebook. iPad. iPhone. Snapchat. Twitter. All these things in which they communicate with one another, and all of us are caught up in the same trap. We're becoming more and more narcissistic than any other generation in history. I've been in a room with adults, just casual talking, and everybody in the room had out their phone or their iPad, and they were looking and talking all around the room. They were interested in somebody out there, over there, but had very little interest in what was going on at that place. Our young people are absolutely addicted. And it's a sad thing to observe that, let me get my picture. Let me make sure that you follow me on Facebook and all the exciting, wonderful things that happened to me. I'm going to put them right out there in full view of the watching world that just waiting to see the people I've seen and the places I've been and the thoughts that I have. Narcissistic. We see it clearly in the study of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, this same Solomon who wrote Song of Solomon, a beautiful love story. This same Solomon who wrote the profound book of Proverbs, which tells us so much about relationships, life, marriage, business. Profound book. Solomon, what a tremendous guy. And you read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's hard to outline. It's hard to understand. You see so many levels there. First, there's a level of the culture of Solomon's day, and you see how he fit into that culture. And then there is the intellectual level you pick up in Ecclesiastes with some semblance of the Proverbs that you have read and were familiar with in the book of Proverbs. And then you see the meditations of Solomon. And once in a while, bang, he just sprinkles God in. Though he professed to be a searcher, though he professed to be a philosopher, though he professed to be someone who did not know about God and really wasn't interested in God at this moment in his life, he was totally a narcissist. But my, what happened to him? If anybody had a fabulous beginning in their life, it was Solomon. He inherited a kingdom from David. He was brilliant. He had everything you want. He was tutored and mentored by a God-fearing prophet. In the beginning of his life, read about it. And turn with me, if you would, if you have your Bibles, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 3. And we read about the early, early years of King Solomon. Chapter 3, verse 3. It says, now Solomon loved the Lord. Isn't that great? Somebody says your name. Boy, that's somebody who loves the Lord. Then he says, he walked in the statutes of his father David. God-fearing man. He loved the Lord. He walked under the statutes, the principles of the commandments. But then it has one little word there. Except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. What happened to Solomon? He married a lot of princes from other nations in order to bring peace to Israel and to have alliance for military and for trade purposes. But as he brought these wives into the land, he said, bring your own religion. We'll find a mountain. We'll build an altar on that mountain. We'll burn incense to your God. It's okay. We're a pluralistic kind of people. But they were not. They were a theocracy. But nevertheless, he used the means to find peace and purpose in Israel to meet the end that was there. He compromised. The Bible says in another places that all of these wives turned him away from God. Turned him away from God. But what a wonderful beginning. And God visited him. And we see here in the fifth verse, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. And God said, get this, ask what you wish me to give to you. Can you imagine God saying, what do you want? Blank check. You need anything? You have any dreams, aspirations? I'll give it to you. God. And look how Solomon handled that. It's magnificent what he did. Verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. See the humility. I do not know how to go out and to come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people that there are too many to be counted or numbered. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing that we need in life is the gift of discernment. If you don't have discernment, your life is going to stay messed up from now till you leave this earth. Poor choices, poor decisions, poor relationships, not knowing exactly what to do. God gave the Solomon wisdom, and wisdom is expressed through discernment, and he was greatly gifted. Under the sun living, follow me carefully, Solomon was the most successful man who's ever walked on this earth. Did you know that? In terms of human success, no one who has ever lived comes close to the success that Solomon had. And we're going to see by far he was the wealthiest person who ever lived, and in some ways, perhaps the most brilliant person and gifted person who had ever lived. And here God gives him the ability to discern. He gives him secular wisdom. And he received it with great humility. Can you have a better beginning than that? And as we study the book of Ecclesiastes, we've already went through the first chapter. We see here all the big questions in life are asked. Answers are not here, but they're asked. Ecclesiastes is the only book in the Bible in which life is dealt with without God. The only one. So why it's there? Solomon is a philosopher. He is a seeker. He is a searcher. He forces those who read this book honestly and intelligently to face the big questions of life. For example, I could pick anybody out and say, stand up, I want you to tell me, who are you? How would you define your life? How would I define my life? I heard a story that years ago, Andy Williams gave a concert in a rest home at the peak of his fame. And he sang beautifully and magnificently, and all of those in that senior citizen home just applauded. They were thrilled. And he went up to one woman, and the little lady said, sir, you need to go professionally. You've got great talent that the world needs to listen to. And Andy Williams looked at her and said, do you know who I am? And she said, no, but if you'll ask that lady at the desk, she'll tell you. Profound question. Who are you? Who am I? Solomon. Solomon forces us to ask those big questions. And that's what we're going to be doing in the months to come as we go very slowly through this fabulous philosophical book. And as we receive answers in the book as we're faced with the big, big things that make up our lives. Solomon was looking for it, I-T. What is it? He was looking for meaning. He was looking for significance. He was asking the question, well, what's life all about? What's valuable about life? What contribution can I make? What will give me happiness? What will give me meaning? And ladies and gentlemen, everybody here is looking for the same thing, though we may not realize it. What's life all about? What's valuable about your life? What's significant about my life? Does your life, does my life have really meaning? We looked at chapter 1. Solomon gives a thesis for the whole book. He says, all of life is vanity. All of life is insignificant. He says, if you live your life as a wise person, or you live your life as a fool, he said, it makes no difference. We're all going to die. He says, life is cyclical, just like water is cyclical. He points to nature as cyclical. He said, life is just cyclical. It repeats itself. He says, there's nothing new under the sun. Therefore, he says, life has no meaning, has no significance, has no value. And that's where he starts. Well, that's optimistic, isn't it? But you see, Solomon forces the reader to deal with the big issues of life that most of us don't like to deal with. We want to be surrounded by racket or activities or noise or hobbies or movement or people. But you read and study Ecclesiastes, it says, hold everything, and presents the gigantic questions that all of us not only need to ask, but need to find answers to. Nothing more profound than, who am I? But Solomon doesn't give up. He says life's without meaning. It has no value. But he takes us through 12 chapters. And in the second chapter, look at what he says. He said, I said to myself, it's good to talk to yourself, isn't it? He says, come now, I will test you with pleasure to enjoy yourself. And behold, it, there's that little word, it. And behold, it too was futility. See, he's looking for it. What is it? Significance. What is it? Happiness. What is it? Meaning. Meaning in life. And then he says, I'm going to go through some situations here. I'm going to test everything that I can to see if in any one of these endeavors I will find significance, happiness, and life. And he walks us through them. Why? As he walks through these, I hope you and I will walk with him. Because we get caught up in these same kind of pursuits. You know, who am I? Where am I going? Where did I come from? What's my purpose? Will I make any difference that I live 2 or 3 or 4 score on this earth? And look what he says. He starts off and says, come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And he already tells us in the beginning, he tried pleasure. It was futility. But look at the pleasure. He said, verse 2, I said of laughter, it is madness. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explained with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the Son of Man to do under heaven and the few years of our lives. He starts off with pleasure. Logical place, isn't it? I want to find meaning in life, happiness in life. Let's just try pleasure. He started off with humor, laughter. Some people like to fill their life constantly with laughter and humor, and you can't get serious a minute. It's almost a protective kind of layer. I like laughter. Man, I like having fun. I love pleasure. All of us do. But when we get so caught up in our own humor and our own cutting remarks and our own lifestyle, we're covering up for something. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explained with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine, while my mind was guiding me wisely in how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the Son of Man to do under heaven and the few years of our lives. He starts off with pleasure. Logical place, isn't it? I want to find meaning in life, happiness in life. Let's just try pleasure. He started off with humor, laughter. Some people like to fill their life constantly with laughter and humor, and you can't get serious a minute. It's almost a protective kind of layer. I like laughter. Man, I like having fun. I love pleasure. All of us do. But when we get so caught up in our own humor and our own cutting remarks and our own lifestyle, we're covering up for something. Solomon says, I just brought before my court jesters, comedians, and I tuned in anything that was hilarious and funny and different. And he said, I tried that. He said, it didn't satisfy. Then he said, I turned to wine. Let me say something up front. You cannot build, I think, a biblical case for total abstinence from the Bible. Did you hear that? I don't think you could do it. And I know the verses. A little wine's good for the stomach. I know red wine's supposed to help our cholesterol that we all battle with. But I also know that Paul says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Having said all of that, understanding alcohol was different in the culture of that day, let me say something. Solomon tried to find meaning in life through drink, through wine, through excessiveness. He said, I always kept my wits about me.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. James 4:8. God gives us a remarkable gift. It's the gift of a new day with the opportunity for a fresh start to do things His way. Listen, I would encourage you to begin your gift of a new day with a prayer and God's Word, a regular DQT. Know what that stands for? Daily Quiet Time. That will help you get and keep your heart and mind focused on the Lord and His plan for your day. It works best for me to have this divine appointment in the mornings. But if another time works better for you, that's terrific. Just make sure you guard that time for Him. I would also suggest designating a location that will become your regular DQT spot. For me, it's a chair and a special place in my house. Choose a setting that helps you draw near to God, because He very much wants to draw near to you. But I guarantee you one thing, He will. And then get ready for your relationship with Christ to go deeper and sweeter with every new day, day after day after day.
We hope you're being encouraged through today's message and taking new steps in your own winning walk with Christ. We want to help you even further by sending you a brand new book from Dr. Young's son, Ben, called Survive the Day. Trials in life are inevitable, and sometimes difficult circumstances continue with no end in sight, while prayers for miracles seem to go unanswered. But in Survive the Day, Ben shares personal experience, hard-won wisdom, and counterintuitive choices to help you flourish in life despite heartbreaking challenges. We're excited to send you a copy of Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young reveals the one and only thing that can give your life meaning and purpose. It's a powerful message you won't want to miss.